Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Andrea Simintov, and you are listening to Pull Up a Chair on Israel News Talk Radio, smack dab out of Jerusalem. Okay, we have a new studio set up here today, so you're going to have to tell me what you think of the sound. I'm counting on you, Nathan. I need to know if it sounds clear, if it sounds a little choppy, if it sounds a little bit echoey. All right. An engineer. Keep me posted with time. Good morning to my friends in the States and in the UK and Canada, Australia, of course, Germany. El Salvador is listening in this morning. Good morning, El Salvador. Denmark, Chile, and Jamaica. I love it. But here's a new one. They're listening in today from the Palestinian territory. And I said to the engineer, where is that? What is the Palestinian territory? So the engineer, who's a kind of humorous fellow, a little lonely, he said it used to be called Israel. So we're going to get to talk a little bit about that. These algorithms come up, and depending on who's behind the switchboard in Taipei, we find out. All right. So today we're going to be talking about the ABCs of Jewish pride, knowing who you are, the responsibility, the obligation of finding out what you know, but also being realistic about what you don't know. Because if you are Jewish and a listener, you are identified. They know who you are. So why don't you know this stuff? Why don't you know who we are? We're going to talk about that. Yes, it is an unending theme here. And also, it is this week's Torah Parsha is the portion of the Torah that we're going to read in synagogue on Shabbos is Pikudei. Lots of things to talk about in terms of honesty, obligatory, that seems to be a word today, you know, forthrightness, transparency, and as well as the importance of the family, the core, the makor, the spine of the family, whether one be Jewish, not Jewish, if you are a member of the world. My name is Andrea Simintov, and we're going to see you on the other side.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back. My mouth is right up against the microphone. I don't want any more criticism from you people over in Australia and over by the ocean here. This is Andrea Simintov on Pull Up a Chair. Maybe I'll hold the mic like this. Hold on. That's too hard. I think I have to be a college graduate for that. We're not going to do that. LN, no more news. It's me, the mistress of know nothing. Okay. We are back looking at all of these great notes today, and I had mentioned on other shows that I have like this 10-minute radio gig in South Africa on Thursday afternoons, Chai FM, the Kathy Kaler show, and they kind of always catch me off guard. They ask me what I'm going to speak about, and I say something relatively fun and insipid. Maybe I'll hold the mic like this. How's that sound? Okay. So, and I say, well, you know, we'll talk about Purim costumes. And suddenly they say to me, so what do you think about that Bereshit space module that's landing on the moon? and I begin to do my best Ralph Cranston. Ba-da-ba, 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 ba-da-ba. What do you mean? Okay, so I know about the space module. So if you want to ask me any questions about that, please don't. All right, here we go. I told you it's Parsha Pikudei. We'll get that at the end of the show. So LN will stay on because that is her favorite part. And all right, here we go. So came across some interesting items, which all get to the theme of the show and knowing who you are. Jews, you Jewish people, stop making excuses. You know, if you don't know who you are, listen carefully to your enemies because they'll tell you. And don't try to correct them. I remember many years ago scratching my head. I wasn't that, you know, politically savvy. I had just landed in, I'm still not that politically savvy, actually, now that I think about it. Anyway, I had landed in Israel and there was a lot going on. And it was back in 95, right before the Rabin assassination. And Yasser Arafat was quoted as saying that they were going to inflict a jihad like never before seen on the Jewish occupiers of Palestine. And the late, unusual Shimon Peres explained what Yasser Arafat did not say clearly enough. And when he said that they were going to inflict a never before seen jihad on the Jewish nation, Shimon Peres explained that what he really meant was a jihad for peace. It didn't, don't interpret Arafat's words in a negative way. They're really very positive. And that wasn't really true. Arafat knew what he was saying. So I came across some writings this week of really someone who's become a friend, not a deep friend, but a friend and someone who I respect very greatly. His name is Bassam Tawil. And if that sounds like an Arab name, bingo, big prize. Bassam Tawil is the founder and the head of, and correct me if I'm wrong because I don't have it in front of me, I believe the Gateshead Institute. Of course, when I think of Gateshead, I think of the big yeshiva there, you know, all the Borsellino hats. But anyway, the Gateshead Institute, Bassam Tawil, he is a human rights activist and he is a scholar. And he will teach us the way Arafat Lahavdil, Bassam Tawil's side, you know, left side over there with the friends, and Arafat where he belongs, under the ground. So one of the things he says is the Palestinians take a look at Israel, and I use the word Palestinian because that is Bassam Tawil's word. They are Arabs. It is one big settlement. Let's all gasp together. Oh! Okay. And according to Bassam, there are no discussion points. When Palestinians and some of their supporters in the international community, including Europe, and let's just toss in Bernie Sanders for the fun of it, they say that they want an end to the occupation. What they really mean is that they want to see an end to Israel's existence. Full stop. Nikuda. They don't want to throw Jews out of their homes in the settlements. Rather, they want Jews to be expelled from the whole country. This is not up for debate, listeners. This is not one person's interpretation. This is fact. I don't speak Arabic. I have to get one of my sons in here because they do. The conflict, as far as the Arabs are concerned, did not begin in 1967. Adjust your history barometers. When East Jerusalem and the West Bank and Gaza Strip came under Israeli control in 67, in the eyes of the Arabs, this was just standard business as usual. 48 is when it happened to them. All the land they maintain, stretching from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. Read it in the materials. You're not reading the same books. From the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, this is Muslim-owned land. No Muslim is entitled to give up any part of it to a non-Muslim. For the Palestinians, accepting Israel's right to exist with the Jews, switching hands with Mike, is an act of treason. We who live in this country, we see it each week. Any Arab who is suspected of even negotiating a piece of real estate with a Jew, Herem being exiled would be a good day for them. They are killed. They make their points very clearly. What is really bothering the Arabs is that Israel, Jews exist, period. Now, by the way, I have to watch. Wait, let me just keep an eye on my engineer's notes to follow the time, because I always like to end on a good note. So again, our existence is the issue. Guess what? We're here. They want all of Jerusalem. They want my town. They call it all Palestine. They want us removed from the planet. If you don't speak Arabic, get into the Arab papers, get into the Arab sites, and see the true story. Don't lie to yourselves the way the late odd Shimon Peres lied to us. Don't say, well, he must know, he's both Jewish and Israeli. You learn, you know. Someone wrote me a note last night. It was such a lucid, loving note. It was somebody who, very detached, a Jew, very detached from Yiddishkeit, Judaism, Jewish thought. And he expressed that they have all these new, really Palestinian representatives in the American government now, standing not in front of the American flag, but in front of the flag of Palestine. I don't know where that is. Apparently, we are part of Palestinian territory, according to this algorithm. And this Jew who frequently says, I don't like everything Israel's doing. I have some serious objection to the things that Israel is doing. And I always want to say, you know, where are you getting your news from? Do you really know what Israel is doing? And he wrote to me last night, and it was sweet. It was childish. It was sweet. It was based on not fact, not from the neck up, but he was feeling queasy about some of the talk that was emanating from indeed his hometown, the Democratic Party, Democratic representatives, Democratic new senators and representatives, and it was bothering him. So, of course, he qualified everything with, not that I agree with everything Israel is doing, but it denoted a sense of untapped pride and curiosity. And I would ask anybody listening in, anybody brilliant enough to keep IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com on their computer and open 24/7, to at least say, there are things I don't know. There are things I'm obligated to learn. Okay, wait, let's get back a second. Let's get back to some of the fun stuff here. Ismael Radwan. This is great. Ismael Radwan, if you haven't been paying attention, start paying attention. He is a terrorist, but unlike our other Arab leaders and spokespeople, he's an honest one. He is very clear, and he tells the world that the settlements are the real obstacle to peace. Oh, no, sorry, that he doesn't do that. He says that's what Palestinian leaders who are taking PR 101, they're talking about the settlements. They're not identifying my neighborhood as a settlement. They're identifying Piskat Zev is a settlement. Malay Adumim is a settlement. Kochav Yaakov, oh, that's a settlement, all right? Beit El. It's all Israel. It's all ours. It's all our home. Not since 48, not since 67, since we stood at the foot of Sinai. Okay, I whispered that. You didn't hear that. He will tell you honestly. He's a senior Hamas official, and he will tell you honestly that Arabs do not differentiate between a Jew living in a settlement on the outskirts of Bethlehem, that living in, Judea, Samaria, a Jew living in the cities of Haifa is a settler. A Jew living in Tel Aviv is a settler. A Jew living in Eilat is an usurper. Listen, I am one of these Jews. You are one of these Jews if you are listening in anywhere from Israel. Stop splitting hairs. Stop doing their work for them. As far as these Arabs are concerned, the conflict did not begin in 67. They want all the land from the river to the sea. All right, so we're going to set. So, Andrea, what's the good news here? Good news is, first of all, awareness, self-awareness, understanding, accuracy, transparency is always good. You can't work in a vacuum. And engineer, is it 30 seconds? All right, I think that might be it. I'm just watching here. You can't work in a vacuum. Abbas cannot negotiate. He will not negotiate. So stop fooling yourself, and when we come back, I'm going to give you the upshoot, the upbeat, the happy. Okay?
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Okay, we're back. The time is racing today. I'm having fun. It's really good to see you people in the chat room. Drop me a note. Write me a letter. Jeff, it's interesting. I don't really Muslim control must forever be under Muslim control. Jeff, write me a note, okay? Because the chat room kind of distracts me occasionally. I get into it. I get excited. And I really need to stay focused here. Write to me at Andrea@IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I'd like to have some clarity and maybe have your take on this. Okay, so before we had that break, that like raced, he put up 5 minutes, and next I know it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, goodbye. All right, so obviously what's really bothering the Arabs is that Israel, the Jews, exist, period. They want it all. They want all of, quote, Palestine, as I'm speaking from the Palestinian territories, according to the algorithms. They want us removed from the planet. It's time to listen carefully, my friends. Listen to what they're saying in Arabic to understand that this conflict is not about Jerusalem, not about Kokav Yaakov or Beit El. It is not about Haifa. It is about us. Now, why is that good news? They asked me in the afternoons on Chai FM in South Africa, how do you live there? How do you deal with the bleakness? Let me tell you what Arabs respect, what Arabs understand. They understand strength. They understand clarity. You know what? Everybody understands and appreciates strength and clarity. Just the same way you don't want to go to a physician who's talking to you about your health and he talks and he says, kind of water. You want to know where you stand. Even if the news is not marvelous, you want to know where you stand. When we are strong, when we are clear, when our shoulders are thrown back, when we know what we will not negotiate about, then you can start talking. Arabs will behave themselves. Is that pandering? Is that a put down? Arabs will behave themselves when we behave ourselves. So stop sweating the little stuff. They want it. They hate you. We're here. And you know, we really can. I do believe that we can live very, very well together. There were times where we really do live well together. When Jews threw back their heads, held their rifles to their side, and were clear about what is theirs. All right? So stop worrying about it. Stop sweating the small stuff. I'm looking at these pages here. All right, because I want to get to some other stuff. I don't want to talk about Donald Trump today. No, the peace plan doesn't do it for me. All right. So let me just go back in here. All right, good news. Last night, I wasn't there because I didn't know about it until this morning. 80 Ethiopian Jews landed in Israel. For those of you who do not live here, for those of you who have never been to the Jewish country, to the Jewish land, for those of you who are getting your news from the Washington Post, the New York Times, and the Chicago Tribune, Let me tell you something about my beautiful country. Last night, 80 Ethiopian Jews, black Africans from North Africa, landed in Israel, and they were greeted by children, by grandchildren, by their brothers. By their brothers, their cousins. What did they do when they landed in Israel? So many of them fell to their knees and they kissed the ground. They kissed the ground of this holy land. And you could see, apparently the airport was just abuzz with the beauty and the amazing. We saw history unfolding. We saw history. We saw the promise of the Torah come true as more and more are ingathered to the only Jewish country on the face of the earth. Okay, another thing to share with you. Another thing, great thing in Israel. Ethiopian Jews came home. Welcome home. Welcome, my brothers, my sisters, my lost cousins. Welcome home. We're in it together. Okay, like many of you listening in, I am also active on Facebook, and I belong to a lot of these different groups, mostly like what to cook for supper or what restaurant to call in for supper. Anyway, I'm a Facebook friend. Well, before I get into this, I'll tell you her name. For those of you who, for my non-Jewish listeners, or for the young Jewish listeners who do not know what it was to be children, to be a baby boomer of the last exodus of Europe. And we grew up, we Jewish kids on the East Coast of New York, we didn't think it was strange to have relatives who spoke with funny accents, relatives with one leg shorter than another, those who had escaped the Nazi death machines, you know, barely able to walk, relatives who kept pinching our cheeks and telling us to go to school, to learn, to grow, to chap, to take what was available. It didn't dawn on us that we were unusual because we were Americans. We stood to the Pledge of Allegiance. We were sometimes slightly embarrassed by these relatives. We would say, could you please tell grandma to take off the house dress and put on something more American? I get teary with shame as I remember these comments. And then I came across, someone sent me a thread by Shoshana Keats Jaskol. And if anybody knows Shoshana, tell her that I indeed quoted her this morning on my show. She's a Facebook friend. I've never met her. In all the wonderful groups, life-altering, Israel-celebrating groups that I'm a member of. And I came across this thread, and I thought I would read it to you today. So those of you who want to know a little bit more about who we are and why we live here, I'm going to read you this blog, or I don't know what you even call it, from this sister of my birthright. So my grandparents on my mom's side were survivors. Each lost a spouse and had children killed before their eyes by the Nazis. My grandmother became a partisan in the woods, and my grandfather used all his money to hide family, who were eventually killed anyway. My mom worked her way through school to a master's. English was her second, at the age of 30, over 30. English was her second language, Yiddish her first, though she was born in Bolivia. In addition to becoming a middle school vice president, she was also a Holocaust educator. She went on trips to the camps and taught kids and adults the history and legacy of the Holocaust. She sent me on the March of the Living when I was 17. I was silent through Auschwitz. I sobbed through Treblinka, and I raged through Majdanek. It was the massive mound of ashes that broke me. The remains of thousands of Jews simply piled into the world's largest ashtray. I nearly vomited. Then came the desecrated cemeteries, proof that Jews can't even be left in peace when they're dead. I stood in that cemetery and realized that I'd never be safe living anywhere Jews were a minority. I decided in that moment that I would never trust my fate to another nation's generosity. I came home from that trip and told my mother I was moving to Israel. I live here now, as do my children, in a land thousands of years old and a state 70 years young. I watch what is happening in the UK, France, US. I'm not surprised. Pained? Yes. Surprised? No. The difference between now and then, my grandparents had nowhere to run. No one would take the Jews. Now there is an open door, a safe harbor, built with blood, sweat, and ashes, where millions of Jews have returned to join the thousands who never left. When you question Israel's right to exist, you question the Jewish people's right to exist. You forget history and deny reality. And while we've always made the best scapegoats when at the mercy of others, now we have options. That was written by Shoshana Keats-Jaskol. Those of you listening in can understand a little bit about that Jewish craziness, the Jewish passion, the Jewish determination, and the Jewish defiance. That was an honor. Now, we're not going to talk about Bernie Sanders' team. Oh, before we go to our break, I just want to tell you another one. Take a look, Google, if you haven't seen it, the newest height of European vulgarity, Belgium. They had a carnival float condemned for featuring anti-Semitic puppets of the Jews. I don't have to read this article. I can just tell you what was on this float. It was a display. What was even the reason? You know what? I don't care. The display, it was magnificent, really beautiful artwork. It displayed two giant puppets with strimals. Strimals are those big fur hats worn by certain Hasidim on special occasions. And they were wearing pink suits, big, ugly, garish, plaster of Paris puppets, both with payas, side locks. And one of the puppets is grinning while he's smoking a cigar and extending a hand, presumably to collect money. Now, that puppet has a white rat on his right shoulder, and both puppets are standing on gold coins and have money bags at their feet. And in the background is a round window that looks like European synagogues and a little box that looks like a mezuzah. And they even had... like little things of the gas, replicas of the gas the Nazis used to exterminate. Nice work, Europe. Andreas.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American Time, 7 a.m. Israeli Time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On the Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
And we're back. Okay, I got I got an interesting note on my Facebook Messenger. Somebody corrected me. The late unusual, Mr. Perez. Okay, we don't speak. All right, so this is our Parsha. And see, the rats, the Holocaust. Let's come up with some new themes. All right. came across a poem before this. I just loved this poem. When somebody said, you know, how is it there? It was a poem written by a woman called, just came across my feed, Laura Ding Edwards. And it had to do with anxiety, the poem. And I thought, well, Israel's a kind of anxious place. But I just love this poem. And I just want to share it for you for no other reason. When somebody says, what's the theme of the program? The theme of the program is things I like. There, now you have it. So the name of this poem is called If the Mountain Seems Too Big Today. And I quote, if the mountain seems too big today, then climb a hill instead. If the morning brings you sadness, it's okay to stay in bed. If the day ahead feels heavy and your plans feel like a curse, there's no shame in rearranging. Don't make yourself feel worse. If a shower feels like needles and a bath feels like you'll drown, if you haven't washed your hair for days, don't throw away your crown. A day is not a lifetime. A rest is not defeat. Don't think of it as failure, just a quiet, kind retreat. It's okay to take a moment from an anxious, fractured mind. The world will not stop turning while you get realigned. The mountain will still be there when you want to try again. You can climb it in your own time. Just love yourself till then. Like that. All right. If you want me to send it to you, write to me at Andrea@IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and I will send you that poem. All right. Today is Rosh Chodesh Adar. Rosh Chodesh Adar. Purim is coming, baby. I can't wait for our Purim show. I haven't planned it, haven't thought about it, but I am excited. And so today's Parsha, hold on, do I have enough to say? I do have enough to say. All right, so we're going to talk about Parsha Pekudei, the first Parsha in Adar. And so I came across some thoughts that I wanted to share with you. So like one of the more popular buzzwords kind of bandied around in society is transparency. That's like a big, I think it's like a big millennial word. It wasn't such a big baby boomer word, but now we have transparency. So what does it like generally mean? You know, transparency in government, financial institutions, no secrets. The public has to be allowed access to everything and able to see how money is being spent, how it's being distributed. Not an unnoble cause, but like a lot of goals, it really is not consistent with human nature and rarely, rarely achieved. As a matter of fact, I was just thinking recently, you know, like when you read an article and you read about, for example, Trump's peace process, like, what are people saying? What are they talking about? Why do we have to work so hard at reading between lines? You can't read anything today without reading between the lines. I'm so sick of reading between the lines. So that's what this parsha is kind of about. So in this week's reading, we have this example of complete transparency regarding the materials donated by the Jewish people for the construction of the Mishkan, the tabernacle. We've been talking about the tabernacle for a few weeks. This headphone is hurting me. Okay. It also talks about the priestly clothing that they wore during the encampment. So let's just see. So like Moses, he accounts for every piece of material that was collected for this extremely noble endeavor. Now, tradition tells us that he was actually unable to account for what they call 1,000 measures of silver that were donated. He couldn't remember what they were used for. So suddenly, miraculously, the silver identifies itself as being used for hooks, for tapestries in the Mishkan. And his accounting was proven to be accurate to the last coin. And this is where we learn, you know, the Torah is a blueprint. It's a blueprint for our behavior, a blueprint for human interaction. And so it addresses that people are naturally suspicious, and often our suspicions prove us correct, that somehow monies, our investments are mishandled. Every week we hear about another financial advisor being hauled in cuffs, misappropriating some do-good organization. So this accounting by Moshe, as brought down in the Torah, is shows us that it's not even an act of piety. It's a blueprint. It's right. It's necessity. Now, to emphasize this point and to make it clear where the Torah stands on issues of financial transparency, you like that word, LN, right? So there is so much space and detail devoted in the Torah to this accounting of funds that this is the kind of thing that, like, when you want a good story, when you want a good, you know, Yehuda and Tamar story, you read about the financial dealings. This is where you turn the page of your Chumash. But it's very, very important. It even talks about how, I'm just trying to see where I had written this down. I'll get there in a second. Giving this full accounting, that even the priestly garments that they wore were without pockets. Isn't that interesting? There were no pockets in the gowns that the Kohanim wore while performing their duties, so that no one could suspect them of taking any property from the temple or in public donations. So you say, come on, they're Kohanim, they're priests. No one, no one in Judaism, no one in Yiddishkeit is above the law. Transparency is a proactive undertaking and should be performed willingly and thoroughly without having to wait for public demand. It's a very high standard, my friends, but the Torah doesn't shirk from making these lofty goals and demands on us. So this parsha reminds us it's a constant, constant challenge. I do have a little, you know, chortle inside. I think about the great Shakespearean line, the lady doth protest too much. Sometimes you go, I'm so honest. Yeah. Let me show you what I'm giving you. Let me show you. If they're screaming too much about their honesty, take a deep breath, but understand the Torah sets the bar. Okay. The Ramban. There's the Rambam with an M, a mem at the end. And then there's a Ramban with the Nun, the Nen Sofit. He points out, this is my favorite part, that in the conclusion of the book of Shemot, with its detailed recording of the construction and expenditures involved in the completion of the Mishkan, this tabernacle, it's not all dollars and cents, my friends. The Jewish people as a whole, at the level of spirituality, that were present in the homes of our patriarchs and our matriarchs at the conclusion of the previous book we read. It may be dollars and cents, but at the end of the day and at the beginning of the day, it's all about people. And just as the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, hovered over the tents of our forebears, now it became, suddenly, it was a cloud, it was a remez, it was a hint, it was an avak, it was a dust, it was a gut feeling. And now suddenly God is recognizable and he's present among the nation of Israel. The Mishkan, the tabernacle, was constructed for that purpose, so the spirit of the Lord could live, could exist within this tabernacle. So I always thought that that was like a very un-Jewish kind of a thing. I mean, God exists everywhere. You need a mikvah, a ritual bath, before you build a synagogue. If you live in a community with a synagogue, but no ritual bath, then you are not living according to Torah. So Jewish tradition teaches us that there are two places, in a sense, two places where the Lord's presence has to be experienced and should be cultivated. His glory fills the entire universe. Indeed, just as I said, he's omnipotent and omnipresent, but our puny human selves cannot encompass the entire universe in all of its vastness and complexity. We need a personal God that we can, in the quiet of our homes, in the quiet of our hearts, in the unrest of our bellies, to whom we can relate. So this God is found, according to our tradition, in two places in our small and narrow world. One place is our home. our family, our daily lives. The second place, of course, is in the house of worship, the Beit Knesset, the synagogue. This is our substitute tabernacle where God's Spirit hovers. These two pillars of Jewish life, these have accompanied us on our long journey in this world and throughout our history. The home and the synagogue are the spine of Jewish strength and vitality. Things have changed in this world. It's sad. It's scary. People move in. People move out. Marriages come later or not at all. Divorce is prevalent. Spousal abuse, I dare say it. So I once heard a wonderful story where a young child said to their very gracious Shabbos table parents, "Aren't we also guests, Mommy and Daddy?" And suddenly the parents got the message. Shabbos meals, at least one, are exclusively for the children. My friend, let's strengthen our homes this Shabbos, strengthen our commitment, and strengthen our kindness to one another. Andrea Simintov, Shabbat Shalom from Holy Jerusalem.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.